Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, ladies.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up on a 2-hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Boom with the topic, sorta like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table, five Philly guys diversified and educated.
What's good, War Room Nation? We are back in the building, and you are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on the new WRS Podcast Network. I'm Jimmy, the Blueprint, and I'm joined at the round table by my brother, Doc Bay, as well as two of the greatest minds in the world of sports and adult films. No, I'm just joking. But we do have two very special guests with me this evening. We have Frank from the Sports Kings and Hank from the legendary Imaginary Players. And what we're going to do this evening is talk about the World Cup and how it's down to two nations. But the biggest thing on our plate today, of course, is NBA free agency and where will LeBron and Carmelo go. We'll discuss all that and more. That's after While You Were on the Grind segment, as well as the birthday shout-outs that we always do. So make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. Or join us on Facebook or Twitter. That's at War Room Sports. So you can get on some of these conversations. You can also call us on the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Quick note, during the week at your leisure, make sure you listen to the War Room Sports Podcast Network. That's WRSPN.com. Or check out our main site, which is warroomsports.com. And you can listen to some of the best talk radio on the Internet, because we have a lot of great shows that, you know, talk about sports, lifestyle, culture, entertainment. It's not just sports. It's a lifestyle network. The War Room Sports Podcast Network pretty much has it all. You can hear shows like The Broad Street Line with Roy and Chris Domingo, Tissue and the Tape, the hip-hop podcast with Phil and Savad. We have so much more. So make sure, WRSPN.com. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. We're on FatsRadio.com. That's P-H-A-T-Z, pretty hot and tempting, radio.com. Anyway, gentlemen, what's good? Are y'all tired of LeBron and Melo talk?
Absolutely. I would just like to say that sports-things.com is more popular than LeBronJames.com on the Lester ranking. So, thanks. Set your game up.
Oh, okay, okay. Shout out to Alexa in their rank. You know what I'm saying? Doc Bay, how you doing down there in Dallas, man? You know, no big time free agents are signing down in Dallas. What's going on? How come nobody's rushing to go there?
Yeah, man. It seems like all the big free agents use Dallas as kind of as leverage, saying, "Well, Dallas has this on the table in the back of their mind, knowing I have no intention of going there." But except for the case of Chandler Parsons, who just received $15 million a year. Now, let's think about that. The Big Three played for $17 million a year last year in Miami the last few years with, like, $18, $19 million escalations, and Chandler's getting $15 off the back. So kind of crazy.
Definitely is. The NBA is definitely crazy right now, gentlemen. We will get to that and more. We'll talk about Chandler Parsons, committing an armed robbery without a weapon, because a lot of guys are getting paid. I think Frank was the one during the course of the week. He said this is the off season of the white boys getting paid.
Absolutely.
Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. We're getting to that in a little bit, but right now let's talk about what happened while you were on the grind. And for those who don't know, While You Were on the Grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com. Click on that DirecTV logo and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV. Let's jump right into it, gentlemen. A lot of times people listening like to call this our JoJo segment, and you'll know what I mean in a minute. We have to give out JoJo awards. But a lot of times when you talk about athletes and while you were on the grind, it turns into sort of like a TMZ thing. So, and I'll tell you what I mean in a second. Let's just start with this story. Josh Gordon was arrested in North Carolina for a DWI while driving P.J. Harrison's car, and he was bailed out by a convicted felon known as Hayden Fats Thomas. Now, a little bit of background. He was driving a 2015 GMC Yukon registered to a Samuel Peterson Hairston, a.k.a. P.J. Hairston, who was just drafted, by the way, with the 26th overall pick by the Charlotte Hornets. This is less than 2 weeks ago. Now, he blew a .09 when .08 is the legal limit. But for those who don't know, Gordon is already facing a potential season-long ban from the NFL because of his reported drug test, but the NFL has yet to hear his appeal. This guy stays in trouble, so I just want to put this out to the floor. What should the Browns do at this point?
Man, you know what he reminds me of? Remember Eddie Murphy in Life? Remember Can't Get Right? Like, that's who he is. Like, there's nothing that he can do right. Like, he, at this point, they just need to cut their losses because he will never play for them again. Every time, like, normally when you are in trouble, you actually, like, pretend not to be a bad guy for a little while just to let trouble pass, and then you mess up again. Like, this dude hasn't even gotten to the point where he's got his one-year suspension. It's just been rumors that he's getting suspended, and he's already gotten two more drug-related and intoxicated-related driving offenses. Like, come on, man. This dude ain't going to ever change his life.
Yeah,
you know, it sort of reminds me of, you know, what makes me mad, like, they talk about Johnny Football all the time and, like, all the quote-unquote trouble he gets into, but, like, he's just, like, going to parties and just turning up. Like, this dude's, like, getting arrested, getting suspended. Like, and everybody wants to get on Johnny Football. I think the Browns need to seriously consider just parting ways. I think they got to cut their losses at this point.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I saw Johnny in there toot his nose, though, in the last pitch. They had Johnny rolling up the 20s just to get his little snort on. So,
they
actually got a chance to play together.
Yeah, imagine the influence. Imagine the negative influence that Josh Gordon may have on Johnny Manziel if they do get a chance to go through seasons together. And the sad thing is that he's such a great talent, and he was already in trouble. So it's like, it's almost like getting suspended from school, right? And then you just come up to the school and get into another fight. And it's like, dude, you were already suspended. You come on campus property. Now that's an offense, and now you're even more suspended. So now you have to go to alternative school. So it's kind of crazy.
And
yeah,
PJ Harrison is already a dude. PJ Harrison's already a dude that is known for getting in trouble too. So like,
all right, hold on one second. Let's talk about that. Let's hold on one second. Let's talk about that because he's in the news as well. Before we even talk about PJ Harrison, though, I just want to say in terms of that last story, like, you know, that it's egregious. He's been nominated several times before, but Josh Gordon, yo.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Yeah, you already getting the JoJo nomination. But speaking of PJ Harrison, I know where you're about to go. He hasn't even been signed yet, but he's gotten into an off-the-court altercation. Well, off the NBA court because it's still on the court. He faces assault charges stemming from a fight with a high school student during a pickup game. Now, he has a long history of off-the-court issues, including arrest for marijuana possession that later revealed a weapons possession. And this is why he was at UNC. He was later suspended for improper benefits surrounding a rental car. He spent last year in the D-League, which was incident-free, believe it or not, before being drafted this year. Now, I know a lot will be made because of his history, despite the police not being called. But my question is this. What do you guys think about him? He's already being tied to Josh Gordon and my man Fats, who, you know, is always in the mix. So what do you think about this guy? He hasn't even played in the league yet.
All right, hold on. I got to give P.J. just one bit of credit. The dude was another basketball player. He's a high school student, but that's only like 3 years younger than P.J. Harrison. So it's not like he's walking around smacking any sort of players. Like, dude is young. But hold on, but Jimmy, you left out one important part, too. They said that Josh Gordon and P.J. Harrison actually don't know each other. P.J. Harrison
said they connected by my man Fat.
They met at a parking lot, and I think it was either a Walmart or a Target parking lot, and decided to switch cars for the day. So, I mean, that's just their mentality.
What?
So, I mean, neither one of them are ever going to be successful in life. Like, just let it go.
You just judge your whole life based on right now, right?
Exactly.
PJ Harrison's going to find out quick that, like, they only put up with you for how good you are on the court. Like, LeBron James can go on the court and just start stealing dudes out. Like, just every dude on the court, nobody would care. Everybody would just sign him to a max deal. But, like, if he can't hoop, like, PJ Harrison's going to be unemployed sooner rather than later.
That's true. You know what's crazy? you never hear about all these years the D-League has been in existence. Like, you rarely or almost never hear about, oh, D-League player pulled over for DWI, D-League player caught, you know, with cocaine, D-League player gets into it. It's like once they get to the D-League, they're like, man, I can't do anything. But then once they get to the NBA or, in this case, the NFL, you know, everything breaks loose and they just start wilding out.
Well, here's the thing, though. You got to remember that P.J. Hairston was supposed to be that guy. I remember him coming out of high school, and they were talking about this guy could have went straight to the NBA if not for that rule. But then he got in trouble and had to go the D-League route. But he was supposed to be that guy years ago. In terms of the whole thing about the NFL, we talked last week, and as a matter of fact, let me get you guys' opinion on this, because we talked about it seems as though NFL players are like, you know, they're more wild than any other sport. Do you think it has anything to do with the sport they play in terms of you need crazy guys to play in the NFL? Or
definitely,
what is it that makes NFL players?
Well, you know, we talk about this, the brain function, and obviously the prefrontal cortex is your
gotcha.
Forehead. So at an early age, if you have, you know, guys 13, 14, you're constantly banging that prefrontal cortex, which is your executive center. So the prefrontal cortex tells me when I walk into a bank, don't rob this bank, don't punch that lady, don't cut my hand off. You know, those are your executive functions. But when it's damaged like that, so once these guys get a bunch of money and they're 21, 22, 23, you know, they see situations, and instead of walking away or making the right decision, they just say, you know what, forget that. I'm going to just do this anyway and make a lot of bad
I don't
choices.
Even know how to respond to that. Only thing I can say is, does the basal ganglia have anything to do with it?
Yeah, the basal ganglia, but not as much, but the basal ganglia is a part of your brain function.
Well, Josh Gordon has no prefrontal cortex.
I honestly think another part of it might be just the basic fact that the NFL season is so short that, like, they have all this free time on their hands. Unlike, like, basketball, the season's so long, and, you know, you only have, like, 2 months off. But with football, it's like you only play what do you play 3-4 months, and then you just got the whole rest of the time to yourself. And, I mean, what the hell are you going to do?
But you would think that you're training, like, as a year-round thing, that you're training and preparing for the season,
and all
even if it's just, like, you know.
But you got to remember, like, during NFL, like, season, it's so structured and they're so controlled. And if they play, you know, in college football, they're so controlled as well. So, like, these dudes are almost like prisoners where, like, they're used to the fact of, okay, you wake up at this time, you wake up at that time, and they're, like, institutionalized. And then when they get out, like, and they have that free time, they don't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah,
right.
Another thing I just want to bring up.
People.
Yeah, another thing I want to bring up. It could be another thing where it's pure numbers. There's like 50 plus people on each NFL roster, and it's not like that on any other sport in terms of team sports. So they have a lot more guys to get in a lot more trouble. But statistically, I wonder. Like, I don't know the statistics, but I wonder, like, on a percentage basis, whether it's higher. It seems to be. NFL players seem to turn up more than anybody else. But
yeah.
I should
they
kill
commit
myself
more murders
using
too.
The term "turn up," but. Well, yeah, and that's another thing. They really go there. Like, you know, you got guys now catching bodies like Ray Caruth, your man from the Patriots. Like, you know, they really are, like, you know, putting in mean criminal work. So,
we're moving
major weight.
Moving major weight.
Yeah, how about
like,
that?
You know,
Jamal
pounds
Lewis.
Pounds
and
pounds. Nate
Yeah,
Newton.
They be selling that. They selling work up in Binghamton with Jadakiss. But, yo.
Mark Ingram.
we got to say this to P.J. Hairston, man. You haven't even made it to your league yet, but you're already, listen to this, you may be the first guy who didn't even play yet who's been nominated, but I'll
you should be ashamed of yourself, the way you carry yourself.
That's right, shout out to Skyview Kevin checking in the chat room. What's good, Skyview? I usually don't speak to Raiders fans, but shout out to you anyway. Anyway, next story, I want to see what you guys think about this, man. There are going to be self-serve beer stations debuting at Target Field at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Like, fans attending Twins games can go to the cash register now, show their ID, and preload $10 or $20 cards. Before the All-Star Game, a $50 card will be available. The fans then can scan their card at the machine and choose between four beers and regulate how much they want to have poured. Bud and Bud Light is about 38 cents per ounce, while Shock Top Lemon Shandy and Goose Island 312 Urban Pale Ale, that is, will cost 40 cents per ounce. I'm not a beer connoisseur, so this means nothing to me other than Bud and Bud Light due to their endless plugs on commercials. But here's the thing. An employee will be at each station to check IDs if a person looks younger than 30. So my question is this a good idea?
Man,
I mean,
I have a JW the Blueprint conspiracy theory about self-checkouts. I think it's just like corporations' like way of trying to like ease out employees and just trying to make it everything so they don't have to pay people. So I have a big issue with any I don't go to any self-checkouts at all in any store. So I have an issue with it just for that reason. And plus, I mean, you know, people are going to be drinking too much if nobody's there to like cut them off. It doesn't
I mean, it's
say
baseball.
About
you have no choice
if
but
people
to drink.
Look too intoxicated. It just says age, right?
No, well, they said that there's a limit. You can't swipe the same card more than, like, 15 minutes apart or something like that. So, I mean, of course,
so
you go up there and swipe another card.
Exactly.
You know, you go up there and swipe another
card. And they said if someone looks
inebriated,
that's why the person's there to stop them as well.
Come on. If you look younger than 30, come on. You don't know the difference between 30 and 20 on some people.
Yeah, how are they going to know?
Hey, yo, what does 30 look like anyway? Does 30 look a lot different than 29 or 31? Like, what does 30 look like?
Yo, I still get carded.
I don't know, baby. I'm still young. I ain't there yet.
Yo, at 37, I still get carded when I go into certain stores.
Yo, it says 30. Like, you look like you're 30. What does that even look like? Like, come on, man. Like,
and could you just say, no, actually, I'm 31, and then they're like, oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah.
Like,
in terms of how it works, though, the machine allows you to use the card to pour up to 48 ounces every 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
So it's 48 ounces every 15 minutes.
Ounces.
So my question is, who made that determination?
What?
Like, what?
I'd like to explain something. You know, I ain't punchy. I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain. But I ain't punchy, you know. It's just.
Yeah, that's how they're going to be. Because, so that means within a 30-minute period, right, you can have about 96 ounces. Yo, who made this determination, man?
Damn.
Now, I did see a study the other day that said,
if I'm drinking 40 ounces, I want the brown paper bag and everything to go with it. Like, I'm, you know.
I heard that.
That's what I'm doing with 40s.
Well, hold on. How can
that.
They allow 48 ounces within 15 minutes? Like, that's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, it definitely is, man.
And
is.
To your point,
I mean,
Jimmy, I've looked 30 since I was like 17, so I mean, I don't see the. I've looked about 35. I've never been ID'd in my life, I don't think, to get into a blunt. So.
Oh, this is crazy. This is definitely crazy. Listen, man, this is all part of corporations find their way to make more money. So shout out to them. Are you guys beer guys? Do you know what Shock Top Lemon or Goose Island is?
I don't know.
Okay, no beer guys? Yeah, I have no clue what that even means. I did recognize Bud and Bud Light. Like I said, you know, they make the horses play football. But anyway. No JoJo Ward there, but.
Shock Top's a good beer. Shock Top's a good beer.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
You can vouch for that. Okay, cool. All right, we got you. Long as you can vouch for that. All right, I want to hear how you guys feel about this last story while you were on the grind. Because this is interesting to me. Baylor's new football stadium will feature a statue of Robert Griffin III, a.k.a. the Cornball Brother, a.k.a. Norbit. So this is basically they're building a statue for a third-year NFL quarterback who was benched last year. My question is that too much too soon, or what do you think about this?
I think too early. I mean, he hasn't even – I say give it at least 10 years, not after – you know, not going into his third year in the NFL. Give him 10 years, let him have his career, and then build a statue. I think it's they jumped
exactly.
the gun.
Exactly. I mean, we just talked about NFL players acting up. Like, he's still got a lot of time to catch a rape charge. And then you got to get rid of a whole
Yo. I mean, my thing
you
is this, though. Like, I know.
Man. You got to chill.
Kareem is arguably the greatest player to ever play, and it took him, like, 30 years to get a statue. Maybe exactly, but still, it took him forever. Yo, John Elway is arguably the greatest quarterback to ever play the game of football. He didn't get his number retired from Stanford for like 30 years. Yo, my man only, yo, he ain't, yo, 4 years out, I'm making the statue already. I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's way too soon. Way too soon.
Yo, he's already like known as a player who, you know, has an ego, and some say it affects his game. You know, but we'll see. Like, you know, he's the jury's still out in terms of how he can be as an NFL quarterback. But from a lot of accounts, you know, his ego has gotten out of control. How is this going to help that?
It's not. I mean, did he even play his whole career at Baylor? Didn't he transfer at one point? Or did he play all 4 years at Baylor?
Yeah, he played all his years at Baylor. And I think he played three. Okay. Maybe he redshirted and then played three.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. You know, I know he's the first Heisman Trophy winner they have, and he led them to their first bowl win. So, on campus, I mean,
yeah, like it's not even like he won like all these national championships. Like he won like a bowl game.
Is it
true?
Yeah, it's true. Well, as we learned from Joe Paterno, a statue can get buried away.
This is true. I mean, you know,
true.
You wanted to crown him, then crown his ass. But yo, RG3, man, you may be the worst rapper ever. I just gotta say this, though. The Baylor University.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
And for those who don't know, that was RG3 spitting 16 with his young lady, his song called Pop Rocks and Tootsie Pops. So he's already embarrassed himself, you know, with that, but now he has his own statue, man. So, Baylor, you should be ashamed of yourself. You're a JoJo Award nominee. Gentlemen, before we move on, well, Baylor, they don't really compete. Who would you guys give the JoJo Award to right now? Would it be P.J. Harrison or Josh Gordon?
I say Josh Gordon.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm
going to go with PJ just because I think Josh is just Josh. PJ, I think, still is making conscious choices to do bad things. Josh is just a bad person.
Doc Bay, you have to.
I think it's a tie with PJ and Josh, especially with them being linked to that other gentleman, because both of them are working on their second or maybe even third chances. After having, you know, big national blow-ups about bad decisions that they made, and then for them to be in the news again, making more bad decisions, facing suspension. I know P.J. Harrison will probably face a lawsuit. The NBA may suspend him for a game or two or four, and then Josh may get, like, 18 months from the suspended from the NFL. So I give them both a tie.
Are you giving them a tie? So I guess I'll be the one to break this. And by the way, shout out to Fats for, you know, staying relevant, and no one knows who you are, but, you know. You got two homies that's in the league, and both of them are a-holes, so you're the common denominator.
My man Nitty texted me and said that Fats is the birdie of above the rim of North Carolina. So.
Yeah, he's a bad influence on everybody. Shout out to Fats. But I do want to say that in this case, I think I would, you know, I would edge, to quote Mr. 250 from OBR, I would edge probably Josh Gordon because, yo, you're about to get kicked out of the league, period. Like, yo, he's in danger of not being able to even play football. So as of right now, what'd you say?
I was going to say he's headed towards the Titus Young status. Remember Titus Young?
Exactly.
He's getting in trouble, yeah. getting in trouble. And they related some of his trouble to he used to hit cats so hard, sometimes he would knock his own self out. And he's kind of, he's borderline mentally unstable right now. A large part of this day came to football.
That basal ganglia. I don't know what that is, gentlemen, but that just sound ill, though. His basal ganglia is messed up. But so with that being said, I do want to say that the JoJo Award nominee thus far, unless someone takes it from you throughout this show, we'll go to Josh Gordon.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
With that being said, it's time to give out some birthday shout-outs. For those who don't know, the birthdays are brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area and beyond. Visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. And to get the hookup, Master P style, tell them that War Room Sports sent you. Now, for the birthday shout-outs this week, Urban Meyer turns 50. Anybody got anything on Urban Meyer they want to say?
Man, nope. The only thing I remember about him is him coaching so hard that he had to stop because he started having, like, heart problems and stress. And his daughter, at her when she took her accepted her volleyball scholarship, she said, Mom, you know, you've always been there. Thank you for all your support. Dad, you know, I love you too, even though you weren't there. Thank you for your support. And he said that hit him like a ton of bricks. So then he said that's when he stepped away from football. And then he said, you know what, I'm going to put a lot of time in with my son. My son's like 10 now. And then like 2 years or a year and a half later, he wound up being the head coach of Ohio State. So that's one thing I remember about Urban Meyer.
Yo, college coaches and coaches in general go hard. Like, they don't have lives. I remember one time John Gruden saying that he doesn't know anything else other than football. He's like, yo, I'm bad at relationships. I'm bad at managing money. I'm terrible with my kids. But, I know how to coach offense.
Some would argue he doesn't even know that.
Some would argue that as well. But, shout out to Urban Meyer. The next birthday is Roger Craig turns 54. So shout to Roger Craig. Anybody got anything on Roger Craig?
Okay, his workouts. Now, like I got his workouts. I remember Jerry Rice used to work out really hard, right? And then he said one time with the workout with Roger Craig, and he was like, man, like he barely made it through.
With the high steps, like Roger Craig is one of those guys who's never really talked about. He was definitely a great running back. I would even say great because he was a dual threat. He's one of the first duals. I think he wasn't the first guy to catch
1,000
yards and rush for 1,000 yards.
Yep, he did 1,000 like in like 1984 or something.
Yeah, he was literally like that guy. He was like Marshall Faulk before Marshall Faulk. So, shout out to him. The next birthday is Andre the Hawk Dawson. I personally want to say FOH to you. You're a noodle. He's the first athlete.
Yep.
I actually met this guy as a kid, and he's the first athlete I ever met who was an a-hole. He wasn't the last, but he was definitely an a-hole. So, not that I hold on to grudges. I probably do. So FOH to you on your birthday. He turned 60, by the way. Anyway, Jake LaMotta, 92. Damn. So I know nobody has nothing on Jake LaMotta. What can you say about that guy? Anyway. And also, rest in peace to Arthur Ashe, who was born in 43 and he passed away in 93. He was born July 10th of 43. So happy birthday and rest in peace. Shout out to Arthur Ashe. We'd like to give a nice big war room salute to all those gentlemen on their birthday. Before we move on, gentlemen, let me tell everybody how they can get in touch with us. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Get you some nice T-shirts. Click the big tab to read our blog tab, to read the latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog, and click on the respective icon tabs to like our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to our iTunes podcast, watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com, listen to our podcast network, wrspn.com. But here's the thing. Here's what I really want you to do. Go download the free War Room Sports mobile app because then you get everything in one place. Also, join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, just use your Facebook or Twitter account. While you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, or to call in to speak with us. Don't forget, it's 323-410-0012. That is the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline. Press 1 and we'll bring you on to talk to us. It's time to really jump into some hot topics, gentlemen. We already talked about a couple idiots in the world of sports, and I'm pretty sure there will be some more. Also, shout out to Skyview, who says number 22 with the high step in terms of Roger Craig.
33 when he was in San Fran. He was 22 with the Raiders.
He was number two. Oh, here he goes. I was about to say that. He wasn't 22, but then I remember that Skyview is a Raiders fan. And you would pick his Raider days to remember him. He wasn't nothing with the Raiders, though. What are you talking about? See, this is why I get stressed out with Raiders fans, man. The Raiders, never mind. We'll get into that later. Anyway.
He rushed 200 yards with the Raiders.
Yeah, you're talking about number 22. Come on, Skyview. You got to do better than that. Anyway, if your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible. Sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. Get you a free book. You can have someone read it for you. I love Audible, by the way. Right now I'm listening to Sugar Ray Leonard's biography, and as much as I love Audible, they made one mistake with this biography is letting Sugar Ray read it himself. other than that, it's an excellent book. I know you're an Audible fan as well.
Yes,
you got
sir.
any good books lately?
No, I feel like I'm behind, man. Just you know,
it's so,
a lot of
it's
other
so many.
Good,
I know you're in the process of you know, of writing a book, but it's so many good good books out there, man. Like for those who love the Game of Thrones, they're all on there. A lot of great sports books. You can get the Michael Jordan biography is on there. It's a new one. A lot of great stuff. But if my one recommendation would be this: go to audibletrial.com/warmersports because you get your free book. You don't have to keep the service, but you get your free book. Download the Mike Tyson book. That is the greatest piece of entertainment ever. Yeah, I said that, ever. It is hilarious. It's sad. Yo, it makes you happy, sad, and laugh all at the same time. Anyway,
audibletrial.com/warmersports.
No, Mike doesn't read the book. That may have made it even better, but Mike doesn't read the book. But it's still an amazing, yo, it's an amazing experience, yo. Anyway, let's jump into some hot topics to get your opinion on this. Let's talk about the World Cup. Germany versus Argentina for all the marbles on Sunday. Before we talk about the beatdown, who's predicting what? Let's see what you guys have in terms of predictions.
I think Germany's going to win. I mean, I think they've been the most consistent team all tournament. I mean, they've just run through. They were in a tough group, obviously, got out of that, and then I just think they have all the momentum.
Yeah, I'm going with Germany too. Like, I think this is what the Nazis was all about. Like, the way that they beat Brazil was like, it was really letting us know that the Aryan superpowers is real. Like, that was embarrassing.
Doc Ben, you got any predictions for this?
Yeah, I think Germany is going to crush them. Probably 4-2.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to keep it a bean. I can care less who wins. I am not one of the people who pretended to like the World Cup. I tried to watch it, yo, but, you know, I saw paint drying and I decided to watch that instead. But after I see a team score 7 goals, that's all I need to see. Like, there's no way I cannot predict them to win, even without watching it. But my question is this. I know Doc Bay had broken down statistically how impressive that 7 goals was. I think you said it was something crazy like a – you compared it to, was it a basketball score?
Yeah, if the 7 goals scored in that game was the equivalent to 484 points being scored in a regular time 48-minute NBA game.
Damn! Yo, that's crazy. Like, what did you guys think, Frank and Hank, what did you guys think about that?
I mean, it was tough to watch. It's almost like because it's in Brazil, it was like just a little sad to watch all those fans just like die. I don't know if you guys saw there was a Vine video going around of like LeBron being like not 2, not 3, not 4, and then it just shows like each goal and just like the Brazil fans just like just going down. It was pretty sad to watch.
I mean, they all got to go home to their beautiful Brazilian girls, so they'd be all right anyway. But
this is true.
Yeah, it was one of those where I was busy at work and I was like, all right, I'm going to turn the game on. And I turned it on and they were down 4-0. I was like, oh my, and it was only like 20 minutes into the game. So, I know Neymar got hurt, but Neymar doesn't play defense. So, I don't know what happened to Brazil, but Germany is real.
Germany looked at Brazil like this. They said,
if he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. I heard that. Yeah, man, that was terrible, man. Like, you know, and like I said, I'm not a huge soccer guy, but, yo, an ass-kicking is an ass-kicking, regardless of what sport it's in. You know, I enjoy people dominating other people. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Pornhub. Anyway, in NBA talk, the latest on the Donald Sterling trial, like, Donald Sterling took the stand and, you know, kind of, like, lost his mind and was talking pork chop greasy to the other attorney and all kinds of other things. He said he'll never sell his team, and he'll sue the NBA for the rest of his life if he has to. I don't know how long that is, but he did say that. He said he also believes his wife is only selling the team because she's terrified and frightened of the NBA, and that if he were to sell the franchise, he thinks he can get about $2.5 to $5 billion because of booming media rights fees. This is his opinion. This is his opinion.
$5 billion.
He didn't mention his delicate Latina while there, but he was pretty much going off about the sale of his team. What do you guys think about the situation now? Are you just tired of it? I mean, you know, do you think he should just let it go or should he keep fighting?
I mean, I'm tired of it. I think we're all exhausted from it. You know, I just think it's kind of taken the back burner with the whole LeBron thing. But the one thing that really pisses me off is Shelley Sterling trying to be like she's a good – she's trying to paint Donald as the villain and, like, her as the hero. But, like, they're both villains. You know what I mean? Like, she's trying to, like, sneak in the back door and act like we're not going to notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the point is Donald Sterling has more money than he could ever spend in the rest of his life. So I don't see him selling the team before he died. I mean, at this point, he's like, you know, that's his family, so he doesn't care about getting that $2 billion and setting up his family for the rest of his life. He's just going to sit there and spend his money. I guarantee Donald Sterling will be sitting courtside of the first game of the Clippers season, just because he can still do it. They're not going to force him to sell his team at all.
Wow. Even if they can't force him to sell, can they enforce that he has to stay away from the team?
Yeah, I don't think he's allowed in the building.
Yeah, the NBA can. The NBA can uphold with whatever law or rule they want, but a federal court, or even a state court would have to overturn that for reasonable grounds. But I don't think the federal or state courts would even try to infringe on the NBA's viewpoint.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Adam Silver pretty much hit him with, like, the most wanted
posters. Yeah, I can see him making a big scene, walking into the thing and making a big scene about security kicking him out. Just to be like, how are y'all going to kick me out of something that I own? I mean, like, yo, he went down like Nino Brown. He let the courts know, yo, this is bigger than Donald Sterling, man.
He tried to educate his brother at the bank. He's like, look, if I'm going down, I'm getting everybody.
He's getting divorced. Yeah. He should be used to getting kicked out of his own crib.
Yeah, pretty much. But here's the thing about that. That's the thing about it. Like, even within this court hearing, from all accounts, they're still cordial. Like, he still was kissing her as he came in, and, like, I don't understand their relationship. I just don't get it. Like, you know.
Didn't he call her a pig when he walked out, though? They said when he walked out, he looked at her and said, don't touch me, you pig.
No, but after he said all those great things about her, he was like, if there was a fly that you know, was dying or whatever, she would open up 10 windows and let the fly. He said all these, like, great things about her. I'm like, I don't understand this. But nonetheless, he is taking everybody down with him. You know, some still believe he got shafted. I mean, you know, even though what he said was egregious, I mean, at the end of the day, yo, I don't even care. This is, like, a non-issue, but it's going to drag itself out forever. And I think I agree with Hank that he's not going away quiet. But come on, man. Do you guys still think he can get $5 billion for his team? Is he out of pocket with that number?
He's way out of pocket.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, people were
definitely
surprised when it went for $2
billion. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know all the other owners are like, man, let him try. Let him try to get $5 billion. If he gets $5 billion for the Clippers, like, what are the Knicks and Lakers worth at that point? Like, come on, man. Anyway, man, Donald Sterling is like, you refuse to go away. And, you know, anytime you mention your name, we just got to say Donald Sterling.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
I still think Josh Gordon's still in the lead right now. But, how about this in Major League Baseball? The jury finds the Dodgers negligent in the case involving a Giants fan who was beaten in the parking lot. The settlement, I heard, anywhere between $14 and $18 million. I find this interesting because you really don't hear too much about this. If he was beaten in a parking lot in Philadelphia, it would be like the end of the world. But they found the team negligent, so they didn't provide enough security to keep him safe. So what do you guys think about this case?
I'm glad it came to a resolution. I mean, it was really sad that what happened to him. And I remember they had some guys in custody, but I don't know, did they fully prosecute his attackers? Does anyone know?
Did they fully?
Yeah, like I know they were questioning people. I know they took some guys in custody, but I didn't know if they actually locked.
Yeah, I think
someone
those guys
up.
Got plea. I think those guys got plea deals. Like they did catch some guys. Yes, they did.
Okay. But, yeah, it's just a sad story. I mean, at least him and his family get to, you know, at least they get something out of it. But, you know, it was just a sad story, you know. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, they both pleaded guilty February 20th.
Okay.
It looks like they both did plead guilty.
It is a sad story. I just don't see how you can find the team at fault for that. I mean, he chose to go there. They didn't send those people after him. That's like if I get beat up in a McDonald's parking lot, I can sue McDonald's now? Like, you can just sue for anything in this world, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think what they said was that the team didn't have enough security in place for, you know, and I don't understand.
Right.
I don't know the logistics in terms of how much security you need per people in your venue, but, you know, according to what I read, they didn't have enough security. If they had,
and the other thing
is,
I don't
security.
Know, like, security in the parking lot. I don't know how wide are the parameters you're expected to have security in. I mean, I know you're supposed to have security, like, in the building, but I don't know how it works in the parking lot. For me, like, this one thing I always think about this story is, like, how stupid sports fans are. You know, it's just, like, why would you ever, like, I love sports. We all love sports. Everybody talking on the show loves sports. But, like, I would never get to the point where, like, I just wanted to, like, beat a dude up in the parking lot because of
my
team.
I mean, well, what if you had 48 ounces every 15 minutes? that kind of changes things, you know what I mean? Like,
that
may have been what happened here, you know. So, yeah, that's a sad story, man. You know, it's a very sad story. It just amazes me because, like, you know, like, I live in Philadelphia. If anything like this happened in Philadelphia, that would have been the end of the world. Like, they still talk about, like, Santa Claus getting pelted with snowballs, like, you know, and that's, like, so many years later, the reputation. But they don't even really bring this up that much, and this was crazy. This guy got his ass whooped, you know. It's a very sad story, man, but they're never going to – it's all about alcohol, man. Alcohol is what it is, and that's probably led to this as well as many other incidents. Anyway, man, like Hank said, man, this is a litigious society, so, you know, I'm going to sue everybody. Just keep suing. Gentlemen, let's jump and talk about the biggest topic this week. But before I do, just want everybody to know, listen, warroomsports.com is the website. If anybody wants to call in and talk to us, it's 323-410-0012. Shout out to, on Twitter, shout out to at KCMac38. Who also said a couple other birthday shout. He said Trent Richardson's birthday. So shout out to Trent Richardson on his birthday. Anybody
yeah, we
got
just wanted to pay
Trent
tribute
Richardson?
and fumble the birthday shout out like he fumbles in real life.
Happy birthday shout out to Trent Richardson for whatever that's
worth. Trent Richardson ran for less yards than his age this year.
Wow.
He probably dropped
yo.
The birthday cake.
What yo? What happened to that? What happened to Trent Richardson? Let's just talk about him real quick on his birthday, because he was supposed to be that guy. What happened?
The Alabama system at all? Their system. I mean, when you're running behind like, you know, such a huge offensive line like that, you know, well, what are you going to do? Like, you see with Trent Richardson and Mark and Ingram, they're underperforming greatly in the NFL right now.
So he got to the league and ran behind a bunch of guys with messed up basal ganglias.
I think Trent Richardson is why Jim Irsay relapsed. Like, I think he thought he got the biggest deal in the world, and all of a sudden he just found out, like, nothing's real anymore.
Man. Hey, that could be true. That could be true because, yeah, I forgot what they gave up for Trent Richardson, but did they give up, was it draft picks? Or
they gave up a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
First-rounder. And, yo, in the NFL, that's like gold. They hold on to first-rounders like, yo. So that's kind of amazing, yo. But it is what it is, man. So shout out to him on his birthday. Shout out to Casey Mack for, you know, bringing that to us about his birthday. But anyway, listen, it's time to talk some basketball, man. It's time to talk some basketball. Again, if anybody wants to call in, it's 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. And if you're already listening from your phone, you know, press that 1. We'll bring you on and talk to us. But it's time to talk some basketball, gentlemen. In basketball, the NBA rap is brought to you by Fanatics. For the best in your favorite teams and merchandise, apparel, shop Fanatics. Shopping Fanatics is easy. Go to our site at warroomsports.com, click on the Fanatics logo, go buy some NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball gear and more. Or, you know, just go to War Room Sports and buy some War Room Sports gear or Fanatics gear, whatever you want to do. Anyway, let's talk basketball. And the biggest story in basketball is LeBron Raymond James. Where will he go? Cleveland feels as though they can make the move to bring him home. So my question is, where will LeBron go? Let's get some predictions, gentlemen. I'll just open up to the floor. Where's LeBron going?
All right.
As crazy as it sounds.
Go ahead. You got it, Frank.
As crazy as it sounds, I think he ends up back in Cleveland. And I can't even believe I'm saying that after everything that went down in 2010 and, you know, when Cleveland was talking about even a couple months ago how you were hearing rumors how they felt like they had a shot. Like, I just thought it was, like, such a pipe dream. But it seems like all signs are pointing to him going back to Cleveland. You know, I really think it's going to happen because, you know, I mean, we're going to get to Dan Gilbert in a little bit, so I'll save it for them. But I definitely think he's going to go back to Cleveland.
Man, I would have thought that right after the finals loss that he would have stayed in Miami and they all would have took, like, maybe $11 million and try to bring in Carmelo, so all four of them are playing for $11 million, so that's $44 million, and they could bring in some more people to meet that you know, twag about $23 million difference on the salary cap, or $20 million. And but now, after all the intel and sources I've been hearing and reading, I think he's going back to Cleveland. And Mike Miller and Ray Allen will probably join him. And then next year, probably Birdman.
Wow. Hank, what about you?
Up until the point where he walked out of the Pat Riley meeting without a firm commitment, I thought all the Cleveland stuff was BS. I thought that there was no chance that he was going to go to Cleveland. Now, I mean, with him not committing to Miami and Cleveland making the moves that they've done to clear up the salary cap, I think he's going to Cleveland. And, you know, that's really the only place he can go and not be hated by the whole entire world. Like, some people are still going to say, oh, he quit again. He left Miami to go for a better spot. He can't just carry a team, but I mean, at the end of the day, he's going back home. So people are going to be like, okay, he just wanted to get back home, and I think that's the only PR friendly move he could make.
Yeah, I've been on the record saying that. I've been on the record for a while now saying if he doesn't go to Miami, that he's going to Cleveland. Leroy in the chat room says, if he was going to stay in Miami, wouldn't he have announced it by now? What do you think about that? That by him taking this long, that he's more than likely going somewhere else. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I think before he was waiting to see them make some moves. Like, he wanted to put – because one of the things that he actually did say was, you know, he's not going to take a pay cut just to allow the owner not to have to pay a luxury tax, which makes sense to me. Why should he, as a millionaire, take less money, but the billionaire is not going to take less money? So I mm-hmm. thought that he was holding off just to see them make – some sort of moves. But, I mean, now that he's back with Miami and he didn't announce, I think it's a wrap.
Let me get you guys' opinion on this. It's something that we talked about on Court Vision, which you can find at warroomsportstv.com. and I was saying how I blame Michael Jordan for this. Hear me out. This is not just some of my normal Jordan slander. What I was saying is Michael Jordan, because of the way he handled himself in the NBA, he kind of made people aware of their value. So now you have guys, like, flexing their muscle, and they know they have power. They have leverage within the negotiations. So now this whole free agent thing in the NBA is becoming like a sport in itself. LeBron literally has the entire league on hold. He's flexing his power. Guys, think there's any truth to that?
Absolutely, I think there's truth to that. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why he's taken so long. I kind of think he's enjoying the fact that, like, everybody's waiting on him. And, you know, I think it just, you know, when you give somebody power, I think they just like to flex a little bit, like you're saying. And, I mean, I want to shout out LeBron really quick for tweeting about, like, under 17 women's basketball. Like, everybody's not trying to get in touch with him. Like, Chris Bosh isn't calling him, like, every 10 minutes trying to see what he's doing. He's, like, ignoring the calls, but he's somehow tweeting about under 17 women's basketball. You know, LeBron, you need more people.
That's true.
So what do you think about that, Doc? Do you think that that he's, like, basically flexing his muscle? He, like, these athletes these days recognize their power?
I just think that he's taken all of the time needed to make this big decision, because I think leaving Cleveland was a big decision, going to Miami. And I think he's talking to all the people around him, his wife, his family. And obviously, like you said, the well, we all know his agents went out. Well, his agent went out and, I guess, received information from all these other teams. I'm thinking that all the teams probably showed the agent a big PowerPoint and video and then gave the agent a flash drive and said, hey, show this to LeBron as well. So it took him time to divulge all that information. And I think he's just taking his time. I don't really think he's trying to really flex his muscle because he knows he has great self-awareness, so he knows once he makes this decision, then all the dominoes and chips fall for the rest of the league. So,
yeah.
But like, just think about what you just said, like, that they couldn't even meet with LeBron. Like, LeBron won't even, like, show up to the meetings. Like, they got to go through his, like, a middleman's middleman just to even, like, like get their pitch to him.
Got to admire him like, four scenes away.
Exactly. Yo,
I mean, I think he's flexing a little bit. I think he's flexing. Like,
absolutely,
he's unemployed right now. Which unemployed person goes on vacation? Like, he says, "No,
yeah.
I'm not going to go to this job interview. I'm just going to send somebody else to the job interview." Like, at the end of the day, he knows that everything else is on hold until he makes his decision. And I mean, I think that now that Dallas made the offer to Chandler Parsons, and they started the clock on all that. And if Chandler Parsons, Houston can't make an offer to Bosch and re-sign Chandler Parsons at the same time, Bosch has to be signed first before they can re-sign Chandler Parsons in order for it to work under the cap. So I think unless LeBron is a real villain, he's going to make his decision just so that Bosch can go ahead and get his money as well. So he's going to do it soon.
Yeah, what if Houston looks – wait, that's right. Houston, he's restricted so they can match. Because I was going to say, what if Houston loses out on Bosch and Parsons? But that's right, they can match if they want to. $15 million a year for Chandler Parsons is, you know –
that's a lot.
It's a bit
– but they have to match within 3 days. So they only have a couple days to –
that's
to
right.
Match.
That's right.
So LeBron, couple days before he screws Chris Bosch. Pause.
This whole thing is out of control, yo. LeBron's out of control. It's sounding like Cleveland, but the funny thing is everybody's leaning towards Cleveland. LeBron is instead of word, which is amazing. You know.
Now, what about you guys? I have a question. I have a question about Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
After everything that Dan Gilbert said, and let's say this was you when you were LeBron, after the way he flamed you in that letter and disrespected you, would you go back to Cleveland if you were LeBron?
It's business,
James?
Baby.
Exactly. I wouldn't. Personally, I wouldn't. But, I mean, if you look on LeBron's website, like, he has, like, a four-column thing, and, like, the last thing on it is athlete. It's, like,
mm-hmm.
businessman, philanthropist, man, athlete. Like, so him worrying about, like, his relationship with Dan Gilbert is nothing compared to, like, the business decision, like, how much Nike is going to give him if he goes back to Cleveland and gets a whole new Nike deal with a whole new commercial and campaign. Me, personally, I wouldn't do it, but I don't think that affects LeBron's decision at all.
Listen, Doc Bay, one thing that's been consistent about Raymond since day one is he said he wants to become a billionaire athlete, and he considers himself a businessman. He says this. He talked about this before. He talked about winning championships. Like, he really did. So I think he'll look at it as a business decision. He won't take it personal. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to be in business with people you don't like. I think that, you know, Cleveland has some young talent there. He probably called up Kyrie Irving and was like, yo.
Roll with us, because you know we got it. Roll with us, because you know we got it.
And by the way, LeBron, yo, stop rapping, LeBron. You got to chill with the, trying to rap and whatnot. You really do got to chill. But, so I could see this happening in terms of the lineup now. I mean, I guess Kyrie at the one. Who is they going to put Wiggins at the two now? Or how are they going to do that?
Yeah, probably Kyrie at the one, Wiggins at the two, Deion Waiters as the first guard off the bench. And then they'll have probably LeBron at the three, Varejao at the four. I guess Tristan Thompson at the five. Or they just.
I think what's going to happen is if they get LeBron, I think they're trading for Kevin Love like immediately. So I think it would probably be Wiggins that goes, but it could be Kyrie. You never know. I think one of those two are going to go.
They're not going to
send
Kyrie.
Not Kyrie.
I don't think they'll send Kyrie.
Yeah, I
don't
think
they'll really send Kyrie.
They might.
Yeah,
I mean,
all the speculation. But anyway, you really think that they would send Kyrie? Like, really?
I think they might. I think it's I think it's way more possible they send Wiggins. But I mean, I think if it comes down to it, and Minnesota was like, we want Kyrie and LeBron wants Kevin Love, I think Kyrie's the odd man out. I don't think you risk LeBron James to, you know, pissing off LeBron James as soon as you get him, especially if the other thing to keep in mind is LeBron James might sign like a 1 to 2 year deal. Like, I think that's his master plan, is to sign a short-term deal, not a, like a 4 or 5 year deal. So, I mean, if he's going to sign with your team, he's basing it basically like on him still having the power
so
of being able
this,
to make
So we can
moves.
Do this all over again in 2 years?
Every two
Absolutely.
Years.
Absolutely. And, like, if he wants Kevin Love and the price is Kyrie Irving, I don't know. You know, if you're Cleveland, I think Kyrie is the odd man out.
I can't see that. I think it's going to be like draft picks and Deion Waiters. I don't think you're going to lose either one of them. Like, what leverage
I mean, if LeBron tells them that's the move they need to make, that's the move they're going to make. I mean,
this
basically,
is true too, but
if LeBron comes there, he is now the GM, coach, and star player.
But you guys are forgetting. You guys are forgetting about one other major asset on Cleveland's team, the number one draft pick from last year. We're talking about the number one pick, Anthony Bennett. He could be packaged in the deal too.
Yeah, to the D League.
That was a joke, right?
Yeah, that was
a joke.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. to the D-League, maybe. Like,
yeah, I don't think his stomach fits under the cat.
Yo, damn! He might be on his way. He might be on his way to the D-League. Like, he, I mean, you know. But other than that, man, I can't see them getting rid of Kyrie. I think part of the allure of him coming home is to be with, like, you know, pause this, but to be with Kyrie. And you know, because he's never really played with a good point. What's the best point guard that Brian has ever played with?
Mo Williams.
Oh, God.
Booby Gibson. I mean, but LeBron's game is to have the ball in his hands. And that's
right.
Kyrie's game right now. Like, there were problems in the first year with D-Wade and LeBron with both of them kind of wanting to have the ball in their hands. So, does Kyrie at... What is he, 23, 24 years old, decide, okay, I'm going to now be a spot-up shooter and play off the ball now? Or does LeBron decide, okay, even though I'm probably one of the best creators of all time, I'm going to be off the ball and play down the post like a big man? Like, I don't know how well they play together.
You know what, though? I think LeBron, that's a good point, but I think LeBron getting older now, having to do so much heavy lifting in Miami, I think he wants to chill right now, you know, go down to the post, move it out the ball, you know, finish on the break. But I don't think he wants that responsibility of running the team and putting everybody in their place, because apparently the fact that Cleveland's on the table, he wasn't happy with how things went in Miami, even though they went to the finals, you know. But he had to basically carry the team by himself with Wade playing, like, what, 50 games and Bosh being a non-factor a lot of nights, you know. So I think he welcomes that.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
the more I think about it, though, I don't know if Cleveland really has – a better team. I know they have more potential in the future, but
yeah,
people are talking like they're a better, like LeBron goes to Cleveland now, they win the championship next year. I don't think so, because I don't think Wiggins blossoms under LeBron. They both play the same position. I don't think Wiggins can become a superstar at, you know, playing behind LeBron. And then you have Kyrie, and then you just have a bunch of guys who were drafted high, but they've never done anything. Anthony Bennett, Deion Waiters. They traded Zeller, Barrichow. I mean, I think the rosters are very similar to that Heat roster. I think Chris Bosh is probably better than anybody on the Cavs team right now.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, I agree to an extent, but I think the other allure of Cleveland is not really their roster now, but all the assets they have to trade for a Kevin Love or trade for somebody else, trade for a big chip, because they have all these young stars and high draft picks and all that stuff. So I think if LeBron comes there, they can then make a second move for another marquee player.
All right, now let me ask you guys a couple. Well, first off, we have a couple comments in the chat room. Skyview Kevin says, you must be able to extra zero there by mistake, because I don't know how true this is. LeBron has a 900,000 square foot house in Akron.
That's
maybe
not
you mean 90,000?
That's not, yeah, 900.
Maybe you mean 90,000?
That's not possible.
Unless
that's
all
about
you.
I'm wrong by it before. It's not 900. It's 90.
Unless he was giving everybody's 40-acre and a mule, I don't know how he would get a 900,000-square-foot crib. Maybe you meant 90,000.
Yeah.
He said he believes he's taking his family home. They just need a center. Leroy says Kyrie is untouchable. And he believes that if they add LeBron and only LeBron, they won't be better than Washington or Indy. Yo, I don't know about that, but, you know, I don't know about that. I think just adding LeBron, because first of all, you're in the East. Like, smart thing about LeBron is, like, yo, stay in the East. Because if you stay in the East, you're going to be in the mix regardless because it's not that difficult out there. But, you know, so those are a couple comments.
Hey, can I add something? 900,000 square feet equals 20 acres, by the way. So his house can't be 20 acres. So 90,000 square feet is a two acre plot of land with the home on it. You know?
Maybe that's it. Well, we do know there's 43,560 square foot per acre, and I know that because it was anyway, that's either here or there. I'm a real estate guy. 43,560 is the number, square feet per acre. But anyway, 900,000 is out of control. You must have added an extra zero. But
maybe he's trying to say LeBron owns Akron, which probably isn't that far from the
maybe
truth.
That's what he's saying. LeBron owns Akron. Maybe that is what he's saying, man. Who knows?
Maybe
who
he's talking about Gloria's body count.
Oh, but what do you think the next move is, Frank? You said another big-time name. What's the big-time names you're thinking about?
I mean, I think Kevin Love is right on the list. I mean, I think they can make a sign-and-trade for Eric Bledsoe, who is somebody that LeBron is a lot of reports say LeBron wants to play with. You know, there's plenty of guys, even maybe like a Rajon Rondo. I mean, I don't know if Rajon Rondo is better than Kyrie or, you know, how that would work. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, they have so many assets that they can make another move after signing LeBron and just get a player that LeBron wants to play with.
Yeah, no doubt. We got our call. We have my homie's on the line. He's in Baltimore by way of Philadelphia. He wants to talk about some NBA free agency. Let me bring him on real quick. Naeem, what's up, homie?
Hey, what's up, Warren? Hi, everybody.
You are the Lakers fan, right? So you're a Lakers fan as well. As I am. So my question is this: What do you think about the Lakers not really, you know, getting any love? We hear the rumors, but nothing yet.
We got hated on from the Chris Paul veto. I mean, it went all downhill from there. You know, That's first time in history NBA ever veto a trade. I never heard of that. But I'm not even going to talk about the Lakers. I might get sick even more thinking about it.
what do you think about this whole LeBron fiasco, man?
You know what? At the end of the day, if he doesn't go to Miami, he has to go back to Cleveland. And as a child, you grew up in that state, in that city, and you want to bring a championship there. I mean, you can't knock the man for wanting to do that. He's going to make money. Yeah. He's going to look like a good guy coming back home and bring a championship within the next 2 years. You can't argue about that. In the next 2 years, I don't think about immediately, but in the next year or two, the next 2 years, Cleveland will be a contender for a championship. If not this year, the Eastern Conference is weak.
This is true.
I mean,
it's all about legacy.
And the thing about it, and I don't think it's ever going to come out, but I really think it was some drama and turmoil in that Miami Heat locker room. Because if you notice, him and Wade wasn't doing their little Bonnie and Clyde thing, walking, taking all the pictures. I think they have a little discrepancy, and I don't think it's ever going to come out.
Uh-oh. What do you guys think about that? Do you think there's anything to that?
I don't know if there's like a discrepancy. I just think, you know, honestly, I just think LeBron saw how beat down Dwayne Wade is. I don't know if bringing back the big three next season is a good idea, and I think LeBron realizes that. I think he knows that him, Bosh, and Wade probably can't win.
If Wade does better this year in the long run, you're going to know his discrepancy. Because it's hard for me to believe Wade played like crap. I mean, he was looking winded, like he was out of the club the night before at a lot of the games. He looked bad. He looked horrible.
Yeah. Here's the thing, right? And I know Dev sent this, and shout out to Dev. He's not on with us tonight. He's giving clean water to some of the kids in Africa right now. But anyway, it's interesting because the one loser in this whole thing, and it was also mentioned in our chat room, it seems to be D. Wade. I want to give the person credit, whoever said it. It was Leroy said that the one loser in this whole thing is D. Wade because you figure he opted out when he was going to make like $20 million. Nobody's going to pay him that now. He's not getting that nowhere, unless Miami gives him like a sympathy deal or something. Like, so he took an he took a chance, and it may backfire on him. So he may be a big loser in all this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw Court Vision yesterday. Like, Dwayne Wade is going to be Will Smith in the final scene from Fresh Prince, just like looking in the empty room, like, where'd everybody go? Why they don't want me?
So Naeem, how do you see everything falling in terms of, like, you know, Bosh, Wade, LeBron, Melo? Where do you see what's your prediction?
Melo, if he sounds New York, he's going after money, which you can't be mad with him about that. And that's his hometown. Bosh, Houston, I mean, Bosh can fit in Houston because that would be a perfect role for him playing next to Dwight Howard. He don't have to go down low. He can play on the wing for some reason. He likes to do that. I don't know why.
Pause.
Huh?
I said pause.
Say that's pause.
Bosh going down low. That's all.
No, I said he's not going down low. He likes to play on the wing now. So he can do that with Howard. You know, he's 6'11", he's scared of the box, you know. I never heard that before in my life. But I got Bosh going to Houston. Melo, if he doesn't go to New York, it'll be a stretch him going to L.A. That'll be a stretch.
Okay.
And I got LeBron going to Cleveland. I really believe he's going to Cleveland. I really believe that. I really believe that.
Okay.
I mean, and you can't be mad with him going back. Because if he don't go back to Miami, his legacy is going to be the guy who went around to Florida, never had a home, going around with NBA teams winning championships. So him going back home, bringing a championship back to Cleveland.
If you're in Cleveland, right, and you see how the city went ballistic when he left, is all forgiven once he comes back?
Oh, yeah, they're going to go crazy.
They're going to figure out a way how to unburn jerseys.
They're
going to figure out
going
to
go crazy.
Way to unburn jerseys.
Yeah,
they're
going to
try
to, you know,
find a way to unburn the jerseys.
Yeah, they are. He's not lying. I was about to say they're going to try to frame it. I'm sorry. You know, they're going to be apologizing to him every home game, announcing them. You know, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
My thing is, if it's going to take Cleveland another year or so to get to the point where they can contend for a championship, why doesn't LeBron just sign to Miami one more year, give that one more chance, and then let Cleveland suck again, get another number one pick, let them hold on to all their assets, and then him and Kevin Love both sign to Cleveland next season, and they don't have to give up a Wiggins or Waiters or any of that.
But they can give up a Wiggins. I mean, they can give up a Wiggins. I mean, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, and Love. Minnesota would take that trade for one of the first-round draft picks. They'll take both of them. And that will, give them a good down low present.
Right,
I mean, you got to understand, Kevin Love is double double every night. He's a bad boy.
He is. Although I do think that he's better as a second or third option. I think that's where he will flourish. Because I think he's definitely a monster. But you know, I don't see him as a number one option. But you know. It's definitely going to be interesting, man. Like, I can see the whole thing. And like I said before, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I see the commercials already coming, the king coming home, and, you know, the whole
Nike campaign
and all that. You know what I'm saying? And I can see the whole thing working, man. I can see the whole thing working. And at this point, Miami isn't the destination it once was. Those dudes look so old in the finals. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And then you got to look at it as a parent. His kids want to go home. His wife want to go home. I mean, as a husband and a parent, he want to go home. He can get off on his back. He can do his running around on the streets more. You know, I mean, let's be honest. Let's be happy. Let's be honest here. I'm saying, you saw what she posted on her Instagram page, home, you know. She wanted to go home for the summer.
Yeah, no
so,
doubt.
I mean,
no
out
doubt.
Of that
no
limelight
no
of South Beach.
And so it's all going to come down to LeBron being able to do his creep thing. I like how you think.
Oh. I'm joking about that, you know, but come on. There's nothing happier in a man life. You keep that woman off your back for other things. You got to be, where you at? Where you at? She home now. She ain't comfort around her family, surroundings. That's why I was hoping with Melo. I was hoping with Melo. Come to L.A. You know, your wife can get a better acting career.
Mm-hmm. Is this true?
You know, that's what I mean. If you get a bet, I mean, you got to understand that these are the women they're dealing with in their lives. You know, I mean, they're human beings like us. They just make more money. You know, let's be realistic again.
No doubt.
Happy home.
No doubt.
Woman off your back. That's good.
No doubt, man. So listen, man, what are Lakers going to do, man? Because, you know, this is uncharted territory, man.
We're going to get that point guard, I think, Isaiah Thomas. It's going to be a rebuilding process. I mean, I'm happy with the draft pick. I like Randall. I love him. I mean, but
as well,
it's going to be a long.
It seems to me that now that Dr. Buss is no longer running things, that it's been a shift in, like,
oh, it's sad.
You know, we're not even the best team in L.A. no more.
No, we got to get his son out of there. Well, the Clippers ain't no better. They only I like him.
Yo,
he's making it
the
look
Kobe
better.
Contract killed y'all. The Kobe contract killed y'all for the next 2 years. Like, he just took away one whole player.
But Kobe deserves it.
I mean, Doc Bay, I think that the whole Kobe thing, like, and I've given my opinion on this before, I think the Lakers will be back. But not until Kobe is gone. And I know, like, a lot of my fellow Laker fans don't want to hear that because they love Kobe.
But that's the truth.
But nobody wants
that's
to play with dude, man. Like, these young boys are cut from a different cloth. They don't want anyone screaming in their face telling them what to do. Like, you know, they're sensitive. They listen to Drake. And they're not, you know, they're cut from a different cloth. So I don't know until Kobe leaves.
It's time for Lakers fans to understand that Kobe. It's time for Lakers fans to understand that Kobe has declined too. Like, I know a lot of Lakers fans that act like Kobe is still the Kobe from 06, and it's not true. Like,
and the thing is, I'm a Lakers fan, and when I try to be objective, they call me, they tell me I'm a hater. You hate your own team. I said it's not bad. I try to be honest though. Like, yo, I think Kobe still has something left, but he's not the Kobe of old. Like, but the thing about that doesn't mean that you can't flourish. I mean, we've seen Tim Duncan change his game and still be productive and play at a high level. The difference is,
but don't get,
trying to get someone to play with Kobe is a little difficult because of the, you know, the way, because he's cut from a different cloth.
If you give us a 2010 Kobe, we won't get a 2010 Kobe is still number five, if not four in the league.
Yeah, but Kobe is like team, though. That's the only
huh?
Kobe is like,
I know.
Kobe is like, you know, like,
point.
Kobe's
well,
like,
I mean,
like 2 days past the expiration date. Like, yeah, you can still put it in some cereal and it'll be okay. But if you drink a glass of it, like, you might get sick.
Nah, that's hate. That's hate, Kobe. That,
no,
that's
I'm
hate.
People want to run everything through Kobe. Like, you can't. You need something else to balance out the Kobe, and that's going to be stronger than the Kobe. Like, people talk about, like, yeah, Melo could come be a number two on Kobe's team. Like, no, Kobe needs to be a second or third option at this point in his career, man.
What?
Yeah,
I
think a lot
anything,
of players
you know what it
don't
is?
Think like that.
I don't think anything is wrong with that. I think that's the problem. The problem is people look at that as a slight or a diss to what he's done. I mean, his legacy is his legacy. Taking a back seat, again, I keep pointing at Tim Duncan because he's the obvious example currently. He took a back seat for, you know, for Tony Parker to be the guy, and they had success at doing that. You got to change your game at times. I mean,
I don't think Kobe have a problem taking a back seat to Carmelo. He's not going to take a back seat to a rookie. I mean, to what's that guy's name? I can't even think of it. Nick Young. He's not going to take a back seat to him, you know? That's something different, but he'll take a back seat to Carmelo or another superstar on his level. But like Michael said about Kobe, is a gift and a curse of winning and losing. So nobody wants to play when a person is, you know, Kobe's still going to hit that gym apart, but he's going to tell you about your weaknesses. You're not mentally focused. He's going to tell you about
and
yourself.
And that's my point. My point is these guys aren't built like that. These guys come from a different generation. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys are soft. I mean, you know, they're amazing athletes, but they're not like, say, a Jordan or a Kobe in how they do it. I mean, these guys are going to the warm-ups with their Beats by Dre on, listening to this. Yeah, these dudes are mad. They're mad Trez Vanny. So they're sensitive guys and you know. So it's a different generation, man. But Naeem, man. With that being said, man, thanks for the call, man. Well, you know, checking with us next
have
week.
Go,
by that
man.
Time, we'll be able to discuss. Hopefully, we can discuss where LeBron went. LeBron, I mean, how long could he hold this out? Like, how long does he have till he has to make a decision?
He can hold out till when? I mean, another month if he wants.
Yo, that would be out of control. But anyway, we'll see what happens, man. Thanks for the call, though, good brother. Checking with us next week. All right.
All right. Have a good one.
All right, homie. We got another call on the line. Hank, we got your partner from Imaginary Players on the line. We got the brother E calling in. Let's bring him on. Yo.
What's up, fellas?
Speaking
what's
of expired milk, what's up, E?
Listen, man, y'all got Hank up here taking shots at me and Kobe at the same time. Talking about the Lakers fans, Kobe's pass done.
What you think? About this whole free agency? This whole free agency thing. Give us your opinion of the whole thing with LeBron, what he's doing. You said you're a Lakers fan, right?
Yeah, I'm a Lakers fan.
Okay, give your opinion of LeBron and what he's doing, and also what's up with our Lakers, man? How come we ain't making no noise?
First, Rich Paul he's not an agent. He's a hostage negotiator. That's what LeBron's doing right now to the league. we need the Silver Team 6 to come rescue us right now. LeBron is killing us.
Oh my god!
But see, I see what LeBron is doing, but I just feel like the amount of time that he takes, it's like it's always some drama, and I would have thought that he learned a little bit from the decision one. But it's just like what he learned was, all right, I'm not going to hold the decision, but I'm going to do the same process in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, it's funny you say that, man. I start calling him Danny Roman. That was wasn't that Samuel Jackson's name on a negotiator? Danny Roman. But anyway, what's crazy is this, though. Here I go with my conspiracy theories. I think Adam Silver got something to do with this, man, because it keeps everybody talking about the NBA all year long, even when nothing's going on. So, and he's very close with LeBron. He mentions it every press conference for some reason. He always talks about, yeah, I just talked to LeBron. I don't know why he always does that, but he does. So I think he may have something to do with it. Like, yo, he's pulling the strings behind the scenes because everyone's talking to NBA, like, you know, and nothing's really going on but him not making a decision.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It could be a conspiracy could be in.
Before he gets
his opinions on the Lakers, y'all have to understand that he is the type of dude that thinks that washed-up players are still there. Like, he's the last person to give up on somebody. Like, he still thinks Lamar Odom is going to be a productive player for the Knicks this year. He still thinks AI shouldn't have retired. So, whatever he says
he's loyal to a fault.
I do think AI still has something in the tank. Just that he wasn't willing to come off the bench. No, seriously, he wasn't willing to come off the bench or just be a point guard and average like 11-6. He wasn't cool with that.
I still think AI could give what Boris Diaw gave in the finals. It's just the AI pride and him not wanting to practice just messed his whole career up. And LeBron, I think LeBron's going to Cleveland.
Okay, so you think he's going to Cleveland?
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, look at Kyle Lowry. I think he averaged like 17-7 this year. Like, I'll be honest, I think AI could put up 17-7 right now, you know, on Toronto.
That's over AI, though.
AI's legend is amazing because I think from 10 years from now, we're still going to have this conversation with people like, yo, AI can come back right now and put up like 15-5. Like, people love AI.
AI cannot put up 17-7
now. Yo, people will never give up on AI. That's his like, yo, the way he played, as hard as he played, and the heart that he showed, like, people will never give up on AI. That's amazing. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. But let me ask you a question,
Lee.
What's that?
Because AI career, then most people, he didn't actually have like a whole fall off. His fall off was more like him I don't know if he was getting high or drinking, and it's his attitude.
Yes.
So, yes, he was. So by the time it came for his fall off, he had already fell off the wagon as far as the drinking and all this. We don't know what AI could do right now.
Yeah, I mean,
him and Lamar Odom, they in the same program.
Let me ask you a question as a Lakers fan, man, what's up with us? Like, where do we go from here? Because, you know, all the talk of LeBron to L.A., it's like, you know, came and went very fast. Like, we're not even the destination that we seem to used to be. So where do we go?
I agree. One of the main things you say, I think it all starts with Jim Buss. Because I think if Jerry Buss was still alive, a lot of people wouldn't mind coming to L.A., because you know Jerry Buss can make sure everything work out. So what Kobe keeps saying, if we trust what Kobe is saying, that he keeps saying Jeannie and Jim is working together, which I guess that means they're going to go back to how things used to be. So I think we still have a chance at Carmelo. Because I think with Carmelo coming to us, it'd be the same as if he – maybe it may be the same or probably a little bit better if he stayed with the Knicks. But next year – we can get Kevin Love, and we still got Julius Randle, and we can have better pieces than what New York got. And I still believe, like you said, if Kobe go back to the 2010 Kobe, I was one of the people that I said earlier today to Hank, I think Kobe is 2010 Kobe is top five player in the league.
Yeah, like true, but Randle and Love, they can't play together unless Randle comes off the bench. I'm just saying.
Well,
exactly.
It's funny because we have people like you just said they'll get Love. I know there was an argument in our chat room earlier that one person said they're going to get Love. Somebody said they're not going to get Love. You know, it's funny because, again, in my opinion, Kevin Love is not a number one option. I think he's an amazing player. Don't get me wrong. He's one of the top guys at his position. But when you watch him play, he does put up meaningless stats.
And the fact of the matter is, I just think he'll be one of those guys who'll be great as a two or a three. So I don't know if just adding Love really puts us in the mix. Now, when you talk about adding Love and Carmelo, that's something else. But, yo, like from what I'm hearing, like Kevin Love is just waiting on LeBron. Everybody's waiting on LeBron at this point. But, you know, he really wants to go to Cleveland with LeBron. Who wants to go to Cleveland? But he really wants to go to Cleveland with LeBron, and Melo wants that chicken from the Knicks. So,
I mean, he's coming from Minnesota, though. Kevin Love's coming from Minnesota, so I think Cleveland might be a you know, step up from Minnesota.
I mean, this may be true.
He's coming from Minnesota, and Kevin Love is white. White people don't care about that. We're the only ones that care about the destination. Kevin Love probably really care about winning.
Yeah.
That just shows you the power of LeBron, where people are really like, yo, I'll go to Cleveland if LeBron is there.
Yo, LeBron low-key.
My girl's family is from Cleveland. My girl's family is from Ohio. I try all the time to avoid making that trip up there. Like, it's one of the most depressing places of all time. Like, I would never work there. But real quick, can we give a round of applause to Phil Jackson's Pimpin? Like, my man has a girl that owns the Lakers, and he still went over to the Knicks and took a job on the other coast.
He got that Zen game. He got that Zen game on it. Like, Phil is that guy. Sounds like somebody getting cussed out, but Phil is that guy. yeah, man. So, I mean, the free agency period right now is completely out of control. Like I said, we're talking about the NBA in July. So that's why I believe the league has something to do with this. E, but thanks for the call, good brother. You know, checking with us. You know, I know you guys are coming back soon. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys come back, you know, the imaginary players. But thanks for the call.
Appreciate it. All right.
Already know. All right, take it easy, homie. All right.
All right.
We actually have another call on the line. We got the homie Tobias calling in. And I know he wants to come on and say roll damn tide. Tobias, what's good?
Roll tide, and let's just be honest here. We got to talk Frank off the cliff. As a fellow Bulls fan here, dude, we ain't getting Melo because we had to give Taj Gibson $8 million a year a couple years ago. But here's the issue. Like with my Bulls, I'm not mad they can't get the free agent. It's hard to get that free agent, because the star free agent, because, you know, they're going to stay the other team because the home team has more money. And they're going to take the money.
Man.
You can't fault the guy for taking the money.
You always got the sign and trade option if you can make it work.
That's hard.
At one point, like the Bulls are similar to the Lakers. At one point, it was like everybody's going to the Bulls, and now it's like, yo, you don't hear nothing about that. What's up with your team?
I'll tell you what the issue is. They're not getting a big free agent. It's the fact that the Bulls, there were trades to get big time players to be had, but they didn't want to give up their players. And I'm not talking about Joakim Noah, Derrick Rose. I'm talking about the Luol Deng's and the Taj Gibsons of the world, or the Jimmy Butlers. Because let's be honest, Kevin Love could be had right now. You mean to tell me Taj Gibson and Jimmy Butler that important? You know, or the Americans got a European guy that no one. And let's be honest here. How many times have you heard about the European guy supposed to be great coming over, and he ends up being Rudy Fernandez just standing in the corner, waiting on his crumbs for a three-point shot in the corner? Every year we hear about the top hero guy. Yeah, and guess what? He's on the same team as Rudy Fernandez in Spain. And Rudy Fernandez is killing in Spain, but he was a nobody in the NBA. So I'm like, Kevin Love could be had. I love Taj Gibson, but Kevin Love's giving me 25 and 14. I'll take that 25 and 14 with bad D or a great D, and you can barely shoot the ball. So my issue
Doc Bay, you're also a Bulls fan, right? So what's your opinion on how the Bulls are operating right now and why they only seem to get a big-name free agent? Okay, I thought Doc Bay was there. But anyway, here's another thing I want to say about this. What do you guys think about, like, Derrick Rose not even participating in the whole, like, recruiting of people? Like, he seems like he don't care less, like. He seems like he's cut from a different cloth as well. Like, he won't even participate in trying to recruit guys to come play there.
Have you ever heard Derrick Rose talk? It's probably best if he doesn't participate in any sort of recruitment.
Yeah, like, but he don't even show up.
Nah, man. They said he was working out, and they walked him by here like, yeah, yo. Like, we got this old idiot savant named Derrick Rose.
He gave him the proverbial
really
head nod.
You can
hear
him, man.
D-Rose is a different type of dude.
He's not going to come.
Can I ask y'all a question? How the hell can you how the hell can you recruit someone to leave 5 years, $129 million for your $80 million? What's the point? You know? You know? What are you going to do, sober, buy you dinner? The man not turning down that money. That's the
issue. It's all about the dog and pony show, man. A lot of these guys, a lot of these guys love that part because they only stayed in college for a short period of time, so they want to go through that whole process again of being recruited. You know, it goes back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, man. They have the need to feel wanted, so they want to go through this whole process and have people basically kiss their ass. So
Everybody likes to be liked and loves to be loved. That's all it is. Like, they just want. Like, Joakim Noah's got it down. Like, I think Joakim Noah's going to come into, like, into training camp, like, 400 pounds because he's just having dinner with everybody trying to recruit them to Chicago. I think he's, like, 5 meals a day now.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing, though.
I mean, you know what you can really blame, though? You got to blame the city of Chicago, too, because the same weekend they're trying to recruit people, they had, what, 81 shootings? How can you tell somebody like a Melo is going to go to Chicago and everybody getting shot? I'm not going there.
Yeah,
Come on, man.
Shout out. Chief Keith and all them Lils is out there acting a fool.
Yeah, Lil Durk.
Hey.
Everybody Lil Durk, Lil B, Lil A, Lil C. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, guys. I have an issue that none of these natural guys have brought up. Now, we all been the guys that said Dwayne Wade shouldn't have opted out. Take your money. Screw what they say. Well, now he's opted out of his contract, and LeBron may leave anyway.
Yeah, he's getting screwed.
Yeah,
I would have
taken my money.
Yo,
yeah,
D-Wade's
been opting in the whole time.
He could possibly screw both of them, meaning Bosch and Wade, Pauls. But he could possibly do that if he, you know, waits too long to make his decision. Bosch could lose out on that deal that's on the table for him now. And D-Wade already got screwed. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I think D-Wade is going to make more money, man. I think D-Wade is going to end up getting more money from Miami if he ends up if LeBron ends up leaving. I think they already had it worked out. I think he told Pat, all right, I'm going to opt out without knowing what's going on as long as y'all give me the same amount of money. But if LeBron comes back. But if he doesn't come back, y'all going to have to give me somewhere near the max. Like, don't be surprised if D-Wade ends up getting – a near match.
Yo, why would you say
that's D-Wade having
a lot of faith in
the organization, though. That's having a lot of faith that they're going to honor that. You know what I mean? Like, they
might just say,
block his number.
Yeah, it's out of loyalty. Cause you know what? You know what else? He knows where all the dead bodies are, man. He knows about all the grimy stuff they did to get LeBron and Bosh there in the first place.
I like this. Another conspiracy. He knows about all the tampering and all the rules that were broken. So.
Exactly. He's got those VCR recordings. Is that what you're saying? He's got those recordings. He's recorded the whole conversation. He knows what's going down.
It wouldn't surprise me, man. They had the whole Be a Mary Jane sound team working on it, man.
Yeah, I'm all about conspiracies, man. I'm definitely all about conspiracies. But Tobias, man, so before we get you out of here, what do you think is going to end up happening with your boys? You guys going to get nobody and just be, back to the same 69-68 basketball you guys play?
I hope to God we don't sign Lou Aldang. That ship is sailed. We'll probably end up with some big white guy that's a stiff that can't move his feet or can't create his own shot. But you know what, though? This is the issue. Everybody's talking about you don't need a superstar. Everybody wants two superstars. Everybody talking about because San Antonio beat Miami, how they did it. The issue is not just star players. You have to have multiple guys that can break, take their man off the dribble and create his own shot or create offense. Where LeBron put on Derrick Rose a couple years ago, they had nobody else who could do it. But when they put LeBron on Tony Parker this year, you had Manu Ginobili and Boris Diaw and even Kawhi Leonard taking people off the dribble. So, okay, you can put them on Parker, but we have other people. You're going to need one of these cuts. What the problem is, it's going to be the same thing. This guy coming off two knee injuries, and you expect him to do everything. People are hating. I'm saying this, not shut up. People are hating on Derrick because he's been hurt. After a while, he's gonna grow up and get tired of having to do every single thing on offense. These guys, most of these guys that get older, they don't want to have to do everything. And he's breaking down already. And that's all.
So basically,
taking my call, guys.
Yeah, so basically your Bulls need someone else who can handle. They need more people. They need somebody else who can break down the defense, right?
Yeah, because when you watch them play, it's not just them that can't score. They couldn't even break like Washington.
To watch you guys play. You guys play.
Yeah, hey, don't worry.
Basketball.
Hey, don't worry. I was drinking a lot when I was watching them. But the problem was that you watch them play against Washington. Washington isn't necessarily the 93 Bulls. They couldn't even break down those guys off the dribble. Those guys had to pass the ball around the perimeter and get lucky. If you can't break down the defense, if a bad offense, you're screwed. And that's what they need, more creators.
Absolutely. The Bulls need more people, man.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Tobias, thank you for the call, homie, man. Check in with us next week, man. We'll see how everything falls in terms of free agency, man. Good luck to your Bulls. We'll see what happens. Thanks, Tobias.
All right, peace, guys.
Take it easy. Yeah, man. It's like certain teams were named in the beginning of this whole free agent thing, and you don't even hear about them anymore. and the whole thing, like, at this point, like, Melo's not even heard about it anymore. He's waiting for LeBron, it seems to be, too. If you guys were Chris Bosh, would you just go ahead and take that deal from Houston and say FOH to LeBron?
All right, so I got to spit some bars to Chris Bosh really quick. I've been defending dude for, like, 2 months now because I think Chris Bosh has turned into one of the more underrated players in the league. Because I think everybody thinks all he can do is shoot threes and stand in the corner, but I think he can do so much more than that. I think he's way more of a defensive difference for the Heat than people realize. But, like, it's time for Chris Bosh to call LeBron and, like, just G-check him. Like, imagine if LeBron was holding up Zach Randolph's money like this. Like, yeah, he'd be hitting the jack. you need – like, the crew's going to be at your front door if you don't make a decision. Like, you're messing up money here. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be
– Yo –
Bosh is, like, getting exposed right now. Not that he wasn't already.
Bosh is a legendary troll.
The problem is Bosh's crew looks like Prince's crew. They're going to all show up at LeBron's stores with boxes on.
They show up like a dance routine.
Bosh is mad soft, yo. Bosh is another one of those guys we talked about in terms of the paradigm shift in today's NBA athlete. He's mad soft. He's a troll. All the stuff he does to get in pictures and make himself you know, memes on Instagram. He's like the biggest troll since like daylight. He's one of the biggest trolls on the internet. But it's crazy, man. Like if I was him, like you got to take this deal in Houston and just say FOH. Like is LeBron? Like what is it? Yo, why do you want to play with LeBron? Basically, he's disrespecting you at this point. FOH, move on.
Right.
But he said LeBron talked to him over the weekend and was like, hey, man, you should probably consider taking that deal. Like, I feel like he's like a girl that, like, you broke up with, but she's still trying to come around and, like, bring you dinner and stuff. Like, nah, like, you know,
that's
another thing
analogy.
What I told you. Yeah, like,
yeah,
I always told
you
it's over.
Yeah, you definitely
do. Some girls
you got
to break up with twice.
Yeah, don't make the mistake most dudes do and, you know, still try to get the moisture. Just move on, break off, and just keep going, man. Like, it's out of control. I mean, I think that he would actually fit well in Houston considering the pieces they already have.
There are weirdos there. Everybody
exactly.
on that team is a weirdo, just like him.
They would
be a pretty weird team. That's true. That's a good point.
But he seems to be waiting on LeBron as the entire world is. You know, Chris Bosh, man, like he said, man, step your game up, man. Be a man. Stop messing around and be a man. We just talked about D-Wade, right? You gave your opinion saying that you believe he's going to get more money. Does anybody see D-Wade going anywhere outside of Miami? Any chance he goes to any other team?
No. I think he'll stay in Miami, but check this out. What if Bosh signs for max or close to the max in Miami, Wade stays, and then, you know, Beasley winds up starting the three. Birdman stays. You know, maybe Chalmers or Norris Cole stays. I mean, how formidable do you think the Heat would be? Would they be like a fourth
That's
seed,
a good question
third
because,
seed?
Kill, here's something else I want to bring up. The Heat also signed Josh McRoberts as well as Danny Granger. So they're making moves outside of that. So the question is, but with adding McRoberts, adding Granger to the mix, having the pieces they already have and keeping two of the three, How good of a team would they be? I mean, you can arguably use the best – well, not arguably. LeBron is the best player in the league, in my personal opinion. But what do you guys think about that? How good would the Heat be without LeBron, but with all the other players we named and also adding those two players?
I mean, depending where if he's not in Miami, let's just say he's in Cleveland. I mean, I think Cleveland would be better than Miami with just Wade and Bosh. I think Miami would probably be like the fifth or sixth best team in the East, and I don't think they'd be a realistic contender with just those guys, because you got to remember, you know, Wade's going to have to play a much bigger role season, you know, going forward if they don't have LeBron. I don't know if his body is able to do that.
But y'all got to remember, the Raptors were the third seed, so the East is pretty – they'll probably be 5-6 in a normal Eastern Conference, but we got to remember the East was really, really horrible this year.
Kill, I like your line of thinking, because here goes my conspiracy. Bosh, Wade go to Miami. They got the guys they signed. In the Eastern Conference Finals, is LeBron and the Cavaliers versus the Miami Heat. How crazy would they sell that?
Yeah, that'd be crazy. That'd be crazy. Because Lance Stephenson, if he bolts Indiana, then Indiana's weaker now. So all the teams in the East might just be the same.
Lance Stephenson takes LeBron's spot in Miami. How about that one?
Oh, whoa, that'd be.
I think they're better than the Cavs with Lance Stevenson.
Look at all the speculation we're doing. We just put Lance Stephenson on the heat.
My man Lance isn't getting the love he's supposed to be getting right now. Like, how can he have only gotten a $7 million offer when Jody Meeks got $6.5 million, man?
It was 4 years. I thought he got 4 years, 45. I thought that was on the table.
No. It was 4 years, 35. It was like 7.4, something like that. And Jody Meeks got 6.3.
Do you guys realize how much money Lance Stephenson cost himself just, like, bugging out in the playoffs?
By blowing in LeBron's ear?
Yeah.
Did he?
Like,
well,
I think he
was still the only person that balled out in that series. Like, beyond the blowing in the ears, he was the only person that actually showed up. He carried that team to an extent besides the one quarter that, you know, Paul George went off. He was the only one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree
on.
With you. I just think it's his perception
right,
of like what the league thinks of him now. You know what I mean? I think
right,
that
so here,
teams,
here
there's
go,
not much
here
of a market
go, here
for
we go,
him.
Frank, we got Leroy at KC Mac in our chat room. He says that he's not sold on Chris Bosh. He doesn't believe he's the max player. He thinks his Toronto days are over. He thinks him being a focal point is funny. You just totally disrespected Chris Bosh, Leroy. I don't know whether
Chris
he can
Bosh
be a number
real
one.
Around
but,
the league. I'm telling you.
But all I know is this, though. People do look down on Chris Bosh, but I do remember in Toronto, like, it's the reason they were called the Big Three. Chris Bosh wasn't a slouch. He has become a spot-up shooter, and I don't think he fit in with the Heat completely in terms of his game, which is why I think he'll, you know, be perfect in Houston. But don't sleep on Bosh. Bosh has skills.
I think people completely underestimate how much – I think he's the one that made the most sacrifices of any player on that team. I mean, he basically became just a role player with, like, a skill set when, like, he was probably a top 15 player in the league when he went to Miami.
Yeah, I agree.
Exactly.
I agree.
He went from an all-star to Robert Horry, essentially. Like,
right, exactly.
I agree.
Did you see the other comment where Leroy said that Haywood got $63 million and Lance can't get
Lance
that?
Can't
like,
get
you
that.
Can't tell me you would – You can't tell me that you wouldn't rather have Lance than Gordon Haywood. What has Gordon Haywood done to deserve $63 million in the NBA?
They're looking at his potential. You know what it is? Lance on the table, it's 5 years, 44, so it comes out to 8.8.
5 years, 44.
So that's what –
okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Gotcha.
But if
Gordon Haywood
gets
$10 million –
If you look at the Jody Meeks scale, when you brought that up, that changes everything. Like, if Jody Meeks can get that money, like, LeBron should get partial ownership. Like, if Jody Meeks can get that kind of bread, like, really.
That's why you can't blame LeBron for saying, I need the max. Like, I couldn't look my kids in the eyes letting somebody like Gordon Haywood make as much as me. Or knowing that Jody Meeks only makes 75% of what I make, and he does 10% of what I do on the court. Like, come on,
yo,
man.
Yo, Jody Meeks changes the entire spectrum of this conversation, yo. You should have told me that. Like, yo,
yeah, you
Jody
know what it is? I mean, I heard this crazy I'm sure you guys have heard it, that LeBron's never been the highest paid player on his team ever in his whole career. He's never been – and that's just ridiculous. But, I mean, as far as Jody Meeks goes, I've been saying this all free agency. Like, if you're an NBA free agent and you're just not out practicing the three-point shot, like, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week right now, like, you're crazy, because those are the people that are getting paid. If you look in free agency, it's people that can hit the three-point shot.
Yeah, yeah, because, like,
normally you have to be a 3-and-D player. Jody Meeks isn't even a 3-and-D. He's just a straight 3.
Yeah, yeah, that's true,
yeah.
too. That's true, too, because usually it's 3-and-D, but the thing about it is, Paul, is like, when you got all these guys that can break people off the dribble, you have to have someone that can shoot. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have a shooter.
Right.
So, you know, I'm always shocked at how there's only, like, certain guys who are specialists in the league. You would think that more players would try to become specialists. Everybody wants to be a well-rounded player. But I remember, like, you know, when Ben Wallace decided, look, I'm not going to do anything but rebound, and even the same with Dennis Rodman. Like,
word.
These guys became all-stars just by focusing on one aspect of the game. You would think that more players would try that. But everybody wants to get out there and, like, you know, dribble the ball and try to break people down, even the centers these days. So it's just amazing, man, because you can make a lot of money just focusing on one aspect of the game. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with D-Wade. I can't see D-Wade in another jersey, though. I really can't see that. I just can't.
See him going is the Bulls. That's the only other place I can, like, even imagine. And that, I think that's, like, a 2% chance he would ever, like, leave the Heat for another team. But if he was going to leave, I think it would be the Bulls.
All right, but speaking of Gordon Hayward, what did you guys think about him getting that max deal in Charlotte? Like, you know, we know that Michael Jordan has made some questionable decisions in the past. What do you think about Gordon Hayward getting that max deal?
That's why the NBA has lockouts every 5-6 years, man. Like, there's no it's because they have something called a max contract, so that everybody's agent goes and says, okay, I'm kind of the best player on my team, so I need this contract right there. Like, there's no way that Gordon Hayward should be making anything close to what the maximum amount the NBA offers, but it's because they have that target there that they know they can get a team that's desperate to say, okay, we'll pay you that target. And now they're talking about Utah's actually going to match it. Like, how can you have been a team
that fighting over Gordon Hayward?
How can you be a team that's had this guy on your roster for the past 5 years and actually think he's worth the maximum amount of money in the NBA? Like, he's
only
not, nobody ever talks about, oh, Gordon Hayward should be, you know, he's a borderline all-star, or Gordon Hayward should be the most improved player. Like, no, he's not garbage, but he's a mid-level exception dude. He's not no max player. Damn.
And, yo, your point about that's why there's always lockouts is amazing, because that's so accurate. There's all, and they always complain about these contracts, yet well, as soon as they come to, they're the reason. The owners are the reason.
Exactly.
They do it over and over again.
Yeah, yo. I think what you're also seeing is that, like, everybody cleared cap space in anticipation of this offseason and all these free agents, and now, like, there's only one team that's going to get LeBron. There's only one team that's going to get Melo, and the rest of these teams just have all this money to spend. You know how money burns a hole in your
exactly.
pocket.
Absolutely.
And I think the same
exactly.
goes for
it's like going to it's like going to the strip club and you change all your money for ones. Like, at the end of the night, you're like, shit, man, I got all these ones in my pocket. I might as well go ahead and just throw them out. Like, that's
what
NBA teams are going to do.
Yeah, you know when you go to the casino and then, like, you run out of money and, like, you look at that ATM machine, like, I shouldn't do it. But I got the card right in my hand.
With the current landscape of the NBA, you got, like, a lot of free agents coming out, but they're grouping up together to go to certain teams. So, like, it's really going to be a lot of people making money. So that's, like, the side effect of this whole super teaming phenomenon with players wanting to play in the same place. You got these mid-level guys who are getting paid like stars because, yo, it's like 3 and 4 stars in one city. So somebody got to have some more chicken to pay. And you got guys like Gordon Hayward. He should send LeBron, like, a thank you note.
Also, I mean, to be completely honest, like, if you're Charlotte, like, who the hell wants to play in Charlotte? So you got to overpay for people to come play for just a franchise nobody knows. And I think that's a big thing as well.
Can you ever become successful that way? Like, is Gordon Hayward going to make you a championship contender? Or should you maybe wait to get somebody that's better and try to fill? Like, the Al Jefferson max contract made sense to me. Gordon Hayward shouldn't be making as much as Al Jefferson. Come on.
Hey, this is
Michael
Jordan,
man. I think it does work out a little different because I think it goes by how many years he's been in the league. So But, like, I understand your point. Like, he's making close to what Al Jefferson's making, and the most he can possibly make on the market right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. They're making
but
the,
I mean,
the most they can make.
But I think what they're thinking is, how many players are you going to get that want to come play in Charlotte? You know what I mean? You might think Gordon Hayward might be the best guy in the next 5 years that actually is going to be a free agent that actually wants to come play in Charlotte. So,
yeah.
I guess I get both sides of it, but I agree. Like, the whole max contract thing, the whole salary cap thing is stupid to me. I don't think any sport should have salary cap.
Yeah, but they're going to be in the lockout. As soon as this contract is up, we'll be in another lockout, and they're going to complain. And they're going to point to this Gordon Hayward deal as one of the reasons. I mean, look at Gordon Hayward. I mean, that's what they do, yet they keep doing it. Like, you know.
You're going to be the new Joe Johnson, the new Allen Henderson.
Like, it's funny. When I saw that, I didn't believe it. I thought someone sent me a link. I was like, yo, that's not – ain't nobody offering no Gordon Hayward. I thought it was a joke. And I was like, yo, this is real. Like, seriously?
But you know what?
Yeah.
Respect to Gordon Hayward, because, like, I'm tired of all the fans and all these people, like, telling people not to take the most money they can possibly take and, like, take pay cuts. Like, nobody comes to your job tell you, like, not to get a raise. Like, stop telling these NBA players they can't get paid.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. People are out of control. He should take this. Like, no, you wouldn't take that. I mean, people want to hold people to these standards they wouldn't abide by themselves. You know, they do the same thing morally. How could he do
that?
I mean, you do the same thing, FOH. So, you know, shout out to Gordon Hayward, you know, for getting his D.B. Cooper on and committing robbery. Chandler Parsons signed his offer sheet with the Mavericks. We talked about this earlier. And Chandler Parsons got paid. As Frank has said, this is the offseason of the white boy. What do you guys think about Chandler Parsons as a player and also signing his sheet with the Mavericks?
I think it's a smart move. I think, you know, if you're Chandler Parsons, I would be a little upset with the Rockets if I was Chandler Parsons, because they kind of, like, tried to throw you aside, eyeing all these big-name free agents. So now it's like, all right, now it's my turn. The kind of, you know, it's rare, you know, this whole free agency thing, I think the overall concept is that it's rare that the player has the hammer. You know, like, unless you're LeBron James or Carmelo Anthony, it's, like, rare you ever get the chance to, like, put it to your team. Like, they pretty much own you once you sign your contract. So I think it's nice to flex your muscle a little bit, even for a guy like Chandler Parsons, to put your team in an awkward position.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting. Like, if they don't land anyone, if they don't land Bosch, or they don't land Melo, and, you know, like how does this whole thing play out with Chandler Parsons? How does this play out?
I think they bring
Chandler Parsons. I think they're going to bring Chandler Parsons back no matter what.
Okay.
Do I think he deserves that much money? No. I mean, he's a fourth or fifth option, and they're talking about paying him near max money. So, I mean, I don't think that Chandler Parsons deserves that. But, you know, it's what they're going to have to do in order to hang on to him. And I think Dallas, like we said earlier, they made a good move, because they decided, okay, we're not going to just let y'all get Bosh and Chandler Parsons, you know, for free. We're going to put some sort of pressure on you to make you have to think about matching the Chandler Parsons thing before you get Bosch, and then maybe Dallas can try to get Bosch to come there on the whole, you know, hometown thing.
Yeah, everybody's trying to play chess. That's interesting. That's just interesting that Chandler Parsons is able to get this kind of bread. Like, yo, shout out to the NBA, man, because money is just being thrown around. And, again, a lot of this is because
LeBron.
It all comes back to LeBron. LeBron is responsible for everybody getting all this money, yo. Like, he's really the king of the league. It's amazing. It's crazy. I say this because, I mean, Mike had his run, Magic had his run, you know, Kobe had his short run, what have you, you know, Shaq for a couple of years. I've never seen the best player, like, flex their muscle this way. And the best part is
LeBron's, like, so low-key about it. Like, he's just, like, looking at everybody like, oh, why are y'all looking at me for? you know we're all waiting on you, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's like you said before, Jimmy. Like, he's the first to be, like, truly aware for his whole entire career of his, like, worth. He's the first.
Exactly,
like, you know, for most of Jordan's career, he was getting paid peanuts, like, compared to a lot of other people.
I mean, he got him on a payback them last 3 years. Yeah, last
he got a couple
33,
couple $40 million contracts, yeah. But exactly. At the beginning, he wasn't making any money. So, but LeBron knows, like, okay, I know I can't get more than this amount of money, but at least I can make you all sweat for a little bit, and I can make y'all think about things like, why is LeBron James only getting paid, you know, $22 million, where somebody like, you know, A-Rod is getting paid $30 million a year? You know, so I think he's making some sort of statement with all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He's definitely just, like, flexing his muscle real crazy. And another guy who's out there is Lance Stephenson. We talked about, he turned down the Pacers' offer. He's still out there, and it's a side effect. He's going to get paid by somebody. Do you think that he'll get what he wants? Do you think that Lance believes he's worth more than what he really is worth?
No doubt about it. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Like, I think Lance Stephenson's one of those dudes, like, I always bring up Jamal Crawford when I talk about this. Like, I think he thinks he's the best player in the league. I don't think you could tell Lance Stephenson otherwise. Like, I think Lance Stephenson thinks he deserves max. If you asked him honestly, I think he would say that.
I do, too. I think Lance Stephenson is like, well, this whole offseason is about Melo, LeBron, and me. Like, he thinks his name is right up there. I agree with that. And you need guys like that. You need guys that believe that, you know, that this is who they are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but,
man.
But with that being said,
but
how
he say my arrogance is my
speed. Yeah, no doubt. He's the Kanye West of the I wouldn't call him that, though. But anyway.
he's going to get that. He's not going to resign with the Pacers, because at the end of the day, he's going to go where the money is. I thought he would have been a really good person to go to Charlotte. I thought Jordan was going to bring him in, try to you know, smooth out the rough edges and see what he could do over there. I thought he would have been a better addition than Gordon Hayward, but
I think that's out of the realm of possibility. Because I think Utah's going to match, to be honest. I think because Utah can match Gordon Hayward's deal, and I think there are reports that they're probably going to. So I think
Lance, true.
You know what, honestly, like, I think Lance might get paid after it's all said and done. You know, after, like, all the dust clears and, like, the people that lose out on LeBron and Melo still have all this money. I think Lance will be one of those guys that gets paid.
I think Chicago is the best place for him, because he plays defense. He has that grit and grime. And he could be another ball handler, you know, the way that the callers talk about
before. That's a great point. Like Tobias said, the Bulls definitely need somebody else who can break people off, pick people down off the dribble. He can do that. And he's one of those guys who does play defenses, which is what the Bulls are known for. Like, so he's not afraid to get down and dirty and play defense. He can do that. So I think that's a perfect fit for him.
Can you imagine
him,
Lance Stephenson on the Bulls, though? Imagine him and Tom Thibodeau. It'd be like, you might have like a reverse free will moment where you just see Tom Thibodeau just like choking him out right on the court.
I think the issue is Lance.
The best out of him, man.
But I think there'd be some rough catches.
I just could see Lance getting into a beef with Chief Keef sometime. They walk into a club somewhere, and all of a sudden, Lance is beefing with the.
There's no way Lance goes to Chicago and doesn't join a gang, though. That's the issue. Like, there's no way he can go there and not join a gang. Like, Lance will become a four-quarter hustler in 2 weeks. Yeah, 400. Not 100, Hana. Yeah, in 2 weeks, Lance will be in a gang. And that's the issue right there. Can Lance go to Chicago and not join a gang? So,
without,
I mean,
joining the gang, it'd be great on the court. It's just off the court.
there's a new blog for you to write this week, Frank. If Lance goes to Chicago, will he become a gangbanger? Like, you know, but
I'm gonna have to do some research.
Just some research on that, because that may be the issue. But in terms of basketball wise, I think that's a great fit. Hank, you bring up all the great points, specifically with him not being afraid to and willing to play defense, which is not. Not too many guys in the league like that these days, if you don't play for San Antonio.
Yeah.
So he'll be a great fit there. But he's another one of these guys who's going to sit around. Everything's going to happen once LeBron gets paid. And then once LeBron gets paid, somebody got to get the rest of this money that's out there. So, you know, you might as well throw it to Lance.
Right. I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Interesting. All right, so we got about 7 minutes before we get out of here. I want to get your final opinion because both of you guys believe that Cleveland, it's amazing how LeBron hasn't said anything, but everyone I've talked to thus far is leaning towards Cleveland, which is crazy. It'd be funny if LeBron came out and signed with somebody else, like, I never even thought about Cleveland, like, you know. But anyway, so the question is this, when will he make his decision? Hank, let's start with you. Hank, when do you think LeBron will make his decision?
Just because I don't think he's that mean of a guy to make Chris Bosh lose out on his money. I think he makes it either late tonight or tomorrow.
Okay. Frank, what about you?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he has enough respect for Chris Bosh where he's going to make it sooner than the qualifying offer runs out. All I know, my final thought is just going to be, like, if he doesn't choose Cleveland after all this, like, the next season, the 24 might be Jack Bauer trying to get LeBron out of Cleveland unless.
I think that he screws Bosh. He waits till the World Cup final when everybody's watching the World Cup final and makes his decision just to flex his muscle and show that he can get him to cut the World Cup off and get his press conference. He's going to show my power one last time. They're going to cut this World Cup off and make my decision. So, but you guys are both in agreement that Cleveland is the location right now.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Couple minutes left, gentlemen. I both of you guys love battle rap such as myself, so I definitely got to get your prediction, man, on this total slaughter thing, man. I want to ask you guys, Joe Budden or Hollow?
Yo, Joe's going to get that work, real bad.
Okay.
I think
you think Joe got any shot, Hank?
Joe is one of my favorite rappers of all time. Like, I could listen to the Move Music mixtapes and, like, I take that journey with him. But I just think going in that ring against somebody like Hollow that can do so many different things, I just think he's going to be out of his element. I got Hollow.
Yo, that first Hollow rebuttal is just going to be, like, crowd's going to go crazy when he rebuttals under Joe.
And the thing is, everybody knows Joe's dirt, and they know, like, so it's not going to be like a surprise when Hollow goes to the personals, but you can still say so many hot punchlines about all the, like, things that that Joe has been through, that he's still going to get a reaction when whatever bar he comes up with about Tahiri having Joe sitting there and saying no to the proposal, like, it's still going to get a reaction even though people are expecting it.
Yeah, it's crazy, man, because, like I said, for a guy that, like, because Joe is very, very emo, for him to put all his dirt out there the way he does, I mean, he's been on reality shows. I mean, he literally had his own reality show before people was getting on reality shows on YouTube.
Yeah.
Remember, he used to put all his own stuff out there, but, like, for a guy who, to have that, like, it's wild, man. So I just don't know, what Hollow can say. But, like you said, it is what it is, man. Like, yo, Hollow does this for a living, so we'll see. What last one? Mook and Lux. Who you guys got, Mook and Lux?
I got Mook.
I got
man.
Lux.
Ooh, okay.
I think that's
going to
be the better battle.
I got Mook. I think Mook can expose the way that Hollow did. He can expose the fact that a lot of Lux stuff you don't understand. But I think Mook is at the level where he will be able to, expose it a little bit better than Hollow can. Like, I think Mook can style on him a little bit.
Okay.
I think Lux is like the LeBron of battle rap. Like, he's got, like, the hype machine behind him, and, like, anything Lux says is just going to be, like, people are just going to go crazy. I think it's going to be a crazy battle. I think it'll be a lot better than Joe and Hollow.
Okay, so your prediction is battle of the night, man. Well, it's time that we get out of here, man.
I think the other battle is going to be the battle of the night. I think Daylight versus Rex is going to be a good. I think Daylight and Rex is going to be a great battle.
Listen, man, that whole card. I mean, just those three battles right there are worth. Like, it's on pay per view, and it's actually on pay per view, like on cable in my neighborhood. It's actually on cable for $20, so it's definitely going to be worth it. We'll talk about it in the different battle rap groups or what have you, but it's time for us to get out of here, man. Thank you, gentlemen, man, for joining me this evening. But thanks for everybody for tuning in this evening. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, those on Facebook and Twitter, all the calls who chimed in. Special thanks to you guys again, Frank and Hank, for co-hosting with us today. We definitely appreciate that. Tune in next week, same time, same place, live right here or on demand. Or check us out on WRSPN.com. Until then, enjoy the World Cup Finals, if that's what you're watching, and also, the LeBron saga. Make sure to enjoy the LeBron saga, because it's pretty much better than any other sport going right now, unless you're watching some baseball. It's been pretty good. But enjoy your week. We'll see you right back here next time. Catch our conversations Facebook and Twitter, @War Room Sports. And don't forget WarmanSportsTV.com for all our video content. As we always say, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance, and we shall see you chumps on top.
Know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B. Austin, Doc Bay on replay.
WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323-0012. If you're going and you're sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in a block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Sports grit, secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.